Hello and welcome to another episode of Kayak Fishing Weekly, the show on the Sirius Angler Network dedicated to all things kayak fishing. I'm your host, Justin Largent. Welcome. Got a fun show planned for you. Got a great guest. And then we've got a little bit of business to talk about first. I'm going to try and go through this quickly. Last week, I talked about the KBF National Championship. I talked a little bit about that. I also talked about the Hobie BOS Open on Lake Norman. I neglected to mention the KBF Trail Series events that happened simultaneously, I guess, with that BOS Open on Norman. So we'll go over those real quick, and then I'll introduce our guest. So again, April 6th and 7th, KBF, right after the National Championship on Gunnersville, had a couple Trail Series events. I stuck around for one day. I love fishing Gunnersville. It's a fun place. And I did not do particularly well, but a couple of guys did. So third place for the Trail Series one on Saturday, April 6th, was Mr. Tim Isaacs. We've heard that name a couple times already this year. Put up 89 inches. Casey Reed, friend of mine, another fantastic angler. Second place, 90 and a quarter inch. And then, who else? Russ Snyder wins it with 92 and three quarter inches. And crazy enough, Russ actually made a move midday. He was fishing a different lake, moved over to Gunnersville, and in basically a half day, smoked the rest of us. So props to those guys. Trail Series on day two, Sunday, April 7th. Again, third place, Mr. Tim Isaacs with 94 inches. Derek Bostic put up 94 and three quarters for second place. And then Mr. Mike Elsie, not his first rodeo, put up 99 and three quarters inches to take the win again on. So congrats to all those guys. Great showing. At the time that we're recording this, the Bassmaster on PK, the guys are practicing down there, but that tournament has not kicked off yet. So once those results are in, I will have them. But not going to have them for you this week. I'm jealous of those guys. I wish I was down there. That place, I think there'll be a little bit of a spawn going on, and that place has got some giant fish. So hopefully the guys are smashing them down there, or at least preparing to smash them this weekend. But let's go ahead and bring our guests on. Got a fresh off of a win at the KBF National Championship. And I guess I don't want to miss any of his accolades. I remember I first met Wyatt when he won a KBF trail event last summer on Chickamauga. And then a couple months later, again on Lake Gunnersville, this would have been, I believe it was October, he took home the Trail Series win, two-day event on Gunnersville, smoked the rest of us. And also, he is the 2023 KBF Angler of the Year and Rookie of the Year. So quite a few accolades over the last 6 months. And without further ado, please welcome Mr. Wyatt Hammond.
What's going on, man?
Wyatt, thanks for coming on. You are on a tear right now. And I want to jump into your, what you did for the championship. I think it's an interesting I think it'll be an interesting conversation, but I guess before we jump into that, I like to ask guests, that haven't been on the show before, kind of what their background is, how they get into this sport, and specifically the kayak side of fishing.
So I've been fishing since I was, yay tall. Like my earliest memories are actually down on Santee Cooper fishing off the dock with a little basket of crickets. My grandpa walking down there with a cane pole, and I'll never forget that being ingrained in my mind, because one day we left the bucket of crickets down there, and about 2 hours later, I had to go run down and grab the bucket of crickets, and it was covered in ants. It's just it's kind of ingrained in my mind, grabbing that, and just catching bluegill and stuff like that off the dock. But I mean, that was 30 years ago now, but so I've always fished. I've you know, I got into bass fishing, you know, around 15, 16, when I could start fishing like the local trails, local bass boat trails. And I lived in Columbia, South Carolina, so fishing Lake Murray and stuff like that growing up. And then, you know, the kayak fishing, I've had a kayak for probably 10, 12 years, but I didn't really start bass fishing out of them until about 2 or 3 years ago.
Interesting.
I did have a bass boat for a while, and I did a good bit of that. Did okay in the bass boat world. And then, you know, the motor blew. It just started becoming a hassle keeping up with the trailer, keeping up with the motor, putting 36 gallons of gas in it and driving it all across the country is just umpteen amount of money. It's an insane amount of money. Guys that can do it, more power to them. Absolutely. So I had the kayak, and I saved the kayak for saltwater, and I fished for flounder and trout and redfish, stuff like that for years out of the kayak, but never threw it in fresh water until the boat was gone. Motor sold all that. And I kind of slowly worked my way up from like the little Pelican 100 kayak that you get at Dick's Sporting Goods for like $250. And then, you know, I'd get like the next higher model. And then the next year I'd get the little next higher model, like the $400 model. And I was always like, man, that $700 one was like the peak. And after 2 or 3 years, I ended up with a little like 12-foot sit on top kayak. And that was like the greatest thing ever that I used in salt water. And then whenever I started getting into bass fishing, I actually grabbed a Wilderness Attack 140, a little 14-foot Wilderness. And I'll say I went all over the place with that thing. Went to Harris, took it out in salt water. I was catching like gigantic redfish out of it, catching, you know, 6-7 pound bass on Sharon Harris around here with it. And then I actually started fishing some monthlies with our local trail, the CCKF guys around here out of the Attack. And I did all right in some of those. I think I won one or two of those. But these guys around here, absolute monsters whenever it comes to the monthly tournaments, putting up, you know, 113, 115, 117 inches in a month.
Virginia guys are the same way.
Yeah.
It's hard to win those.
It's always Casey right there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I jumped into one of their, where I work a lot of weekends, so I don't get too much time off to go fish a lot of tournaments throughout the year. I got to plan them months in advance, but I got to go fish one of the first tournament I actually fished, like the single day tournament I fished, was on Sharon Harris. And I practiced for that thing for months, just trying to get ready for it, because didn't want to go, you know, fall on my face in my first tournament. I ended up winning that with like 102 inches on that one. And then
that's impressive. You know,
fish with those guys for the rest of the year, and then jumped into the KBF trail last year, and, you know, went out to Murray. I felt like I fell on my face. I came in 21st the first day, and then 24th the second day, and I was like, I'm never again. So I put
you thought
months,
that was bad
months of practice.
Yeah, dude, that's a pretty good event for me.
And I take kind of practice and pre-fishing and all that way to the extreme. Like, I mean, just take for this Gunnersville event right here, I've been YouTube and watching videos and spending way too much money at Tackle Warehouse, and, you know, just all kinds of online research since the last event down there, since October, just months and months and months of research, and just kind of pouring over everything that I can to get ready for it. Kind of take it a little too far sometimes, but.
Well, shoot, it pays off. It's work. I mean, so basically you did that CCKF, that's Central Carolina.
Yep. Central Carolina kayak fishing.
Yep. I poked around a little bit. I'm looking for some stuff a little closer to home to fish myself. And
CKA would be your guys.
CKA. Yep.
Yeah, because in North Carolina, we have a couple of major trails. Like CCKF takes the middle of North Carolina. CKA takes kind of the northern part. And then Queen City takes the western part. Don't really have a major in the far east yet around the coast. But, yeah, CKA guys, Eric Nelson, he's the president up there. So, they fish falls and all that big strip up there.
Okay. But yeah, that so 1 year fishing locally against those guys, then graduating to the KBF series, and now dominating it. I don't know if that's fair to say yet, but I'll put it this way. For anybody that hasn't paid attention to the KBF Angler of the Year rankings, it was a two-horse race for prior to you winning it. I think for the previous 5 years, it was just the trophy was handed back and forth between Cody Milton and Russ Snyders. Anybody that follows the sport, I think, knows who those guys are, at least in the tournament world. And for anybody that thought it was a fluke, you've demonstrated it was not a fluke. It's like you've got. Did you win any other trails besides that Chickamauga event?
No, other trails. I came in fourth in one of the Potomac ones.
So you came to Potomac too.
Yeah. I fished all the KBF last year. So I know it was Murray. It was Murray, Potomac, Chick, and then Gunnersville. I think I may have missed one.
I know the trail went to New York.
There was a far north one. I haven't been into anything up north yet. I want to try and make Susky or something this year, but
that place is fun.
For bass, fun. Yeah. I think it's bass.
It kicks my butt in the tournament, but it's a whole lot of fun before that.
I've only fished for smallmouth like two or three times in my life, so I'll go up there and get my butt kicked as long as I can catch smallmouth.
Somehow I have a feeling you'll do just fine. But what I guess before jumping into practice and the actual championship, like what's your style kind of? Because I've followed your YouTube channel, Wham Fishing, for anybody who hasn't followed it or hasn't seen it, and I'm trying to think how to describe. Like, I feel like you're very relaxed, or at least you're calm. Maybe under the surface, you know, you're not. But you come across as like very laid back and just very, like, you don't seem to get flustered the way that a lot of us do when stuff happens. But your style, it seems like from what I've watched, like I saw some of your stuff from 2023 on Lake Murray. It seems like you're pretty versatile. Like you can do a little bit of everything. I saw some stuff with you fishing deep down towards the clear portion of the lake. I saw you fishing, you know, cranking up shallow in the mud. But what's kind of your style or your favorite way to go after them?
I like power fishing. I'm not a huge finesse guy. Like it's kind of weird because I do like to throw a shaky head and stuff like that a lot, but I don't like to fish slow with it, I guess, is the thing. I like to fish offshore. I like offshore. I really like docks, love fishing docks, but I don't like to fish slow with anything. Like I want to roll up, make two or three casts at something, catch a fish, and then keep on going. I want to sit there and like 30 casts and cast 31, I get bit. I lose my mind at that point.
Fair enough.
To see the entire lake if I can, but.
Okay. Now I think you were in that Old Town PDL.
Yeah. Last year I was in the Big Water 132, the Old Town Big Water 132.
Big Water. Okay. And,
yep, still got it. Still have it kicking around. I'll probably take it all like offshore fishing and things like that.
So. Gotcha. But I saw you had an upgrade for this year. And I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit and how it helps you for this tournament with all that stinking wind. but let's jump into the tournament itself or the preparation for the tournament. You mentioned that you were preparing for months, YouTube videos. Kind of what does that look like? Is it just YouTube? Are you looking at Google Earth or?
Yeah. So Google Earth, I love. You can actually look at the Lowrance mapping online. So CMap Chart Explorer, you can actually pull that up and actually see all their maps and everything without having a subscription or anything. You just Google that webpage and go through that. And then Google Maps as well, like to kind of see what patterns and things like that are going on up there at the lake and just kind of put all that together. And then, you know, with this one, I was kind of anticipating, I didn't want to fish, you know, like places like Seabold because I knew they're going to be, you know, with 140 people, if there's 20 people in Seawall Creek, it gets packed. you know, Mulberry Creek up the lake up at Scottsboro, if there's 5 or 10 people in there, it gets packed. The major gotcha. Creek browns and stuff like that. I didn't want to fish anywhere where I knew I might have to be fishing behind somebody or on top of somebody, stuff like that. I kind of wanted a good chunk of the lake where I could spread out.
That's tough. I mean, well, at least for me, I'd almost rather fish behind a bass boat than a kayaker. I mean, and it to a point, I guess it depends on who it is. You know, I don't want to fish behind an Elite Series guy necessarily, but I feel like the boat guys move through areas a little bit quicker. Like some of the kayak guys, especially the really patient ones that are more patient than me, they can sit there in one spot and just make the same cast over and over again all day long.
Yeah.
On an offshore spot. And like, I do not want to go behind somebody that's fishing like that. But Gunnersville, I guess it has to be one of the most pressured lakes in the country. I mean, I'm sure there's some other place that's worse, but I mean, even during practice, I was seeing a bunch of boats.
Yeah. It was nonstop.
Okay. So you were seeing the bass boats, but you found a place that was more or less, it was a little quieter in terms of the kayakers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. I like it.
So, yeah.
No, so did you end up looking around a bunch or to settle in on an area, or did that preparation sort of pay off and, you know, you kind of went to your first area and it mm-hmm. worked and you didn't need to do much else?
Kind of fell flat my first area.
Okay.
So I fished like Marshall Island, all the little islands and everything right there. I saw it on my map. It said Duck Blind. I don't know the exact area, but it's like right there where it makes the big bend. Okay. Right outside of Browns Creek, right across from Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Where all
was in there on Saturday.
Where all the little islands and stuff are.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I went in there because I got there on Sunday and tournament's on Wednesday. So I had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to practice. I got there on Sunday and I went under the bridge. You know, kind of, I wanted to go like, you know, a mile and a half, 2 miles away from a boat ramp because, you know, I figure I might get away from some people. And I went into a little pocket in there and I was actually going into it and I found a bunch of fish outside that main pocket in like 19, 20 feet of water. And I was catching them on the live scope and they were all like, you know, 15, 16 inches, nothing crazy. And I was just about to leave and I, you know, threw the jig head minnow out there and it hit the bottom and I hooked like a 19 and a half out there. And I was like, oh crap. Now I got to sit here and do this the rest of the day. And I fished around the rest of that pocket. You know, there's docks in there, stuff like that. There's docks. There's a flat in the back. I threw rattle trap. I fished the docks. I didn't end up catching anything really substantial. I caught 1 3-pounder off a dock that didn't really tell me much. Cause there's like 40 docks in there. And, you know, I was like, cool. And that was about the end of that first day where I didn't really put too much together. I mean, on the way back, I think I stopped out in the main lake and caught some spotted bass off the main lake and little 14 inches. I was like, hey, I got a backup, you know, in case anything crazy happens. And the big thing that I saw is, you know, that week was that we're going to have that major cold front coming in where it was 75, 80 on Tuesday, on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and then tournament day, it's like high 55, 30 mile an hour wind. And that stuff that I was looking at was on the south side of that big island. So I was trying to find some protected stuff out there. And so I said, if it got blown out too bad, I was going to go fish for spots and maybe live scope around a little bit, see if I can catch, you know, 80 inches or something like that, just kind of survive the day. And then the next day I went out there, I went back to the same spot just to make sure I could do it again. And those fish were gone. Like I couldn't find a single one of them. So The spots were still there. I scanned over those right quick and I was like, no bass fisherman's going to, no guy in a boat's going to stop on a school of spots. So it's like, those are going to be there forever. Little 1-pounders, but
you can get five at least.
Yeah. I was like, I knew I could sit there and get five on a drop shot or something like that. Pretty quick. Cause there was like 40 of them on every single little point out there. It was kind of crazy.
Dang.
And I went back to that spot for the largemouth. And I think it was just a school that was just, I guess, funneling into the back. Cause you know, it was hard creek channel going back into a big pocket. And so I kind of took that and like, this place is, they're sitting on the creek channel running back into a pocket. So might want to look at some stuff like that. And I went back through that whole pocket again just to kind of give it a once over. And I actually saw a lot of bedfish whenever I was back there too. I saw one that was, I say 7-8 pounds sitting on a bed, just a monster, just absolute monster just sitting on a bed, and had a little like 3-pound male with it, and fished for that for a little bit and just kind of left because I was looking at, you know, Wednesday, cold front and everything. I'm like, this fish is not going to be here. Like I could sit, you know, like, it'd be great to catch it today, but it's not going to do anything for me on Wednesday. So I went through and, you know, I saw a couple others on beds. I saw two that were, you know, about 5 pounds sitting on a bed. And I was just like, why couldn't it be warm and sunny this whole week? Cause I'd come right in here and do this. But
yeah, you
know, I kind of put that in the back of my mind. Like, I know that they're here, but they're not going to be here. So they might as well not even exist. So I went back out and I went back to the islands and I started looking at little ditches and things like that that led into the spawning flats. I picked a little point, like if there was a spawning flat and it had little pinch points at the end of it, I started fishing those with chatterbait and rattle trap just to kind of, you know, see if I could catch the fish going into spawn or where they would come out if that cold front hit and they backed off a little bit. And I started catching fish like every single grass point. Every single hump, every single little, like the first major thing outside of a spawning flat, I started catching fish on. And I'd roll up to it, make two or three casts, catch like a 15, 16 incher, go to the next one, make a couple casts, catch a 17, 18 incher, go to the next one, catch another 16 incher. And I'm like, all right. And then it started getting to like, this is the third day of practice. On Tuesday, I was like, I could pick out the spots and be like, I'm probably going to catch one here, roll over, catch one. I could probably catch one here, roll over, catch one, and go to the next one. So I was like, I was pretty confident that I could catch like 84. I told everybody 84 inches, 84, 85 inches on Wednesday. I was like, I'm pretty sure I can get that just knowing all those spots that I found. I'd catch a fish, mark a waypoint, and just leave. I don't want to sit there and catch, you know, 3, 4, and 5 fish off one spot. If I rolled up, made a couple casts and caught one waypoint and go to the next spot.
That's interesting though. Like for me, for practice, I find myself like going through an area and then like the next day I'm always looking for something else. I'm running around trying to hit as many spots as possible. Or I guess as many different ramps and see sort of different water more. But it sounds like you basically got super dialed in on an area where you found some fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't waste a bunch of time running all over the lake, checking different ramps. And like you just found, like you said, the waypoints, you know, dropping waypoints on specific spots. And then I'm guessing you just went to them on Wednesday when the tournament kicked off.
Yeah, so I had the best looking point that was about a mile and a half from the boat ramp is where I started, and I just kind of wanted to make just a big milk run of, you know, trying to keep everything where I don't have to go backwards to hit a waypoint, where I don't have to go backwards to hit something, and then it's also where, you know, I can line up with it with the wind. I can sit there and cast into the wind, and if I need to, I can drift back a little bit. So kind of just visualizing in my mind where do I have to go and which waypoints do I have to hit and which ones I think are better and stuff like that. And
so you put together a little milk run and then just basically executed it. And the wind, is your thinking just to, you don't want to get blown in, like catch a fish, fighting a fish and get pushed in on top of it?
I wanted to get pushed off of it, pushed farther away. Yeah. So I always wanted to come in on the downwind side of it. That way, if I do catch a fish or something like that, or, you know, if I'm fighting a fish or something and get pulled a little too close, the wind will kind of push me back off of it. So I'm not spooking everything that's up there.
Nice. I like that. See, that's, I don't think enough, I guess. I just get in there and start slinging. So you had a monster day one. Was it, what? But it sounds like you were expecting 84 inches, but you put up more than 10 inches better than that. Was it just there were quality fish in there that weren't there in practice?
Yeah, I think those fish truly did back off, or some of the fish that were suspending and things like that just kind of sucked down to the points, because those fish were probably out just roaming and stuff like that. And with the cold weather, they just kind of sucked down. Cause I was fishing grass points in like 10, 12 feet of water. And I'd use the hummingbird and I'd scan by an area, and wherever I saw the grass make a little corner or anything like that, I'd put a waypoint dead on that corner and come back and fish it. So, and anywhere that there's kind of like a little irregularity they could sit on. And
dude, that's awesome. So I don't have the totals pulled up, but I thought you were leading after day one, and it was what, 95 or 96?
Like 96 and a half. And all those 16, 17 inch fish, like everywhere I went, instead of catching a 15, 16 incher, it was an 18, 19, 21 and three quarter.
That is awesome.
And I mean, by the end of the milk run, I actually ran out of spots at the end, and I went to two or three new places, and I lost one. I lost another about 18, 19 incher off one of the spots. It was just one of those days where just, I don't know, they just showed up out there.
It's nice when it happens like that. For me, it's not too often, but where everything, you know, you put all that work in, everything comes together, and then it's even better than you anticipate. It's nice. It's nice when it happens.
Oh yeah.
So day two, like, you know, you were thinking you could survive day one with 84, and now you've posted 96 and a half. What's your mindset going into the second day? Are you thinking it's going to be like something that you can duplicate, or
are you stressed at all?
Yeah. I mean, you're leading the KBF national championship.
Like I'd much rather be in like second or third, where everyone's not like, "Hey, I'm trying to get you." Because now in my mind, it's like, no, now you definitely can't screw it up. I mean, if you can bring in, you know, if I'm in fifth or sixth, I can drop down and not get like, hey, what happened today? But if I go out there and catch 96 and don't catch them the second day, everybody's gonna be like, well, what happened?
That is true. There's a little bit of pressure. I was never in contention in this tournament. I knew from practice I wasn't on anything much, and my days were, I think your worst day was the same as my best day. So, but I felt like that was kind of me, like sort of lurking back. And the last time that I had kind of a good championship event, I had a lead going into the last day. So I remember very well what that feels like and what it feels like to blow that lead. It's
it was the same thing at the Hobie event at Harris Chain this year.
I felt for you that one. That was that.
That's going to hurt my soul forever.
This has got to make it feel a little bit better. I know when I saw that, I was thinking, well, shoot, you know, I think it was you and it was
Hunter
that had like 111 and 113. I mean, just insane. I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but maybe I can still cash a check, but I'm not competing for it. Like I thought the tournament was over at that point, but you guys just absolutely murdered him.
Oh, that was crazy. Yeah. He and I were sharing the same spot, which was nuts. They were there the second day too. That's what killed me. They were still there.
Just couldn't get them to bite.
I lost them. I lost. I can still see it. I jumped off a 6-pounder. I came clear out of the water. Rattle trap goes flying off to the side. Made a couple more casts. Hooked another one. It pulled off through the football jig. Had some bites. Missed those through the Texas rig. Bites. Missed those. Like. It was bad. That was a bad day.
Well, have you followed the Elite Series? Any of the talk going into that tournament on Harris?
No,
they postponed it. I think today
postponed it today. Yeah.
Like I listened a little bit, and it sounded like it was tough down there. Like there was a massive fish kill. So, like, if that makes you feel any better, maybe those fish are the ones that. I don't know if anybody has figured out what caused it yet. If it was just an algae bloom, or maybe some of the spraying, but maybe those fish got sprayed and they won't do that to you again.
Yeah,
But for this one, you definitely did not slip on day two. You went back in there and executed almost an identical limit.
I ran the same thing. The only difference was I started on my second spot the next day, because the first day I caught a 17 and like a 14 and a half off my first spot. And then the second place that I went to, I caught on the first day, I caught an 18 and a half and the 18 and three quarter, I think, or 18 somewhere around there in my second spot. So I was like, I'm just going to start there. And if I need to, I can hit the first spot. But yeah, the second day, I think I caught a 19 right off the bat at the second spot. So it was good decision to start there, and then just ran the rest of the milk run.
So you made the exact same run. The only difference was that starting spot.
Yep.
That's awesome.
My best spot is like, I wish I could show you a picture, because it was like, you have a big spawning pocket back here, and then you have two drains. I mean, two ditches that go straight into that spawning pocket, and both points right there on the side of that drain is where I caught the bulk of my fish the whole week.
Gotcha.
Like I'd pick up fish here and there, but I could sit in that one drain. I could pull up to it and make three or four casts and catch two or three fish.
Now, were you? After you catch those couple of fish, does the spot die, or are you letting it reload and then kind of just doing
the drains? I would let reload. Yeah, the drains I'd let reload, and everything else, like even if I just, like, it was bugging me one day, like I just caught a fish, I just caught like an 18 incher, and I'm like, in my mind it's saying I need to leave, I need to go somewhere else, because I don't really catch two or three. Like, this is not a spot that I catch two or three fish off of. This has been a spot where I catch one and I could fish it for another 45 minutes and probably not catch one. So I was like, I catch a fish and I'm sitting there trying to make another cast, and my brain is like, you need to go ahead and leave. Just pick up and go. And there's two or three times where I'd catch a fish and then make one or two casts and then just leave.
Gotcha. That's interesting though. Like, that's, feel like that's next level. Like, when you've got that voice telling you need to move, and you actually listen to it, and then and it works. Like, I don't know how many times in a tournament I've had that little voice tell me, we need to go do something else, this isn't right, and I just continue to do that same thing, that whatever part I am, whether it was because that was my game plan for the tournament, or it's just, sight fishing, I get sucked into that sometimes. Where,
yeah, oh yeah.
I know I need to not, and there'll be a fish that's not even that big, but it's gotten to the point where now it's personal, and I'm going to catch that fish if it takes me an hour. And it's much better when you can have that inner voice telling you, okay, no, this isn't the smartest strategy. Let's go do this, and then actually like follow through and do it.
Yeah,
it's
The last Hobie on Logan Martin, I kicked myself for doing that, because on day two, like I had a decent limit, right, 82, 83 inches, something like that. And I was sitting there catching spotted bass offshore in like 20 feet of water, and probably every drop, I mean, every single drop, I was watching Mega Live, and there's just 30 of them sitting there cruising around, and I'm catching like 15 incher, 14 incher, 15 incher, 15 and a quarter incher. And then I, catch another couple 15s, and then catch a 15 and a half incher. And I'm like, I need to leave and go fish docks for big fish. And I sat there and kept trying to upgrade like quarter inch, quarter inch, quarter inch. And then eventually, with like an hour left in the tournament, I went and started fishing docks and caught a 19 inch spot for an upgrade. Mm. And I was like, I should have left hours ago to start doing this, and ran out of time.
Well, shoot! You did not repeat the same mistake on Gunnersville. It sounds like,
listen to the voice.
Yeah. All right. So day two, you've basically matched day one, and now you're. I don't remember the. I should have had the standings up so I could pull the exact lead that you had, because you had a 4 or 5 inch lead going into the last day.
Yeah.
And like, so the not a ton of pressure necessarily, going into day two, but I imagine there had to be a little more going into day three.
Yeah, day three, like I know the guy that was in second, Jimmy, was fishing right. He was fishing pretty much the same pattern that I was, and he had the monster day, like 96 something inches. And I was like, oh my god, if he goes out and does that again, like I don't think I have the fish to do that again.
Gotcha.
And then watching Mike put up, you know, 92, and I think he put like 92 inches in the first hour or two. And I'm sitting there, I pulled up the leaderboard and I'm like, oh my, I was like, I'm 15 inches back right now. I'm sitting there calculating in my head as the day goes on. I'm like, I need, you know, 8 inches. I need 6 inches. I need a 19 incher. I got to go find, I need to cull out this 14 that I have.
And see, I missed all that. I was, like my third day, I had fished the same area 2 days in a row. I'd beaten it up, a million bass boats beat it up. And then the state truck was in there shocking fish. And I couldn't see how much, like I just look over my shoulder and I see him going down a bank behind me. I'm like, I didn't see where they started or if they went through the whole area or not. But so I was in a different area on day three and it took me a long time to find them. So I was not looking at the leaderboard. I was just trying to figure out where can I find a fish. I went back.
Nope.
Yeah. I went back to a place I fished in the fall. And that kind of, that was something else I wanted to bring up too, because you did not fish the same water this time that you did last time. Completely different area, which I think is really
never,
cool.
Never fished that area before. Never fished this area. Never fished either area before, actually.
I like that. See, I went back to a place I'd caught them in the fall and the grass was not the same. There was not much of it. So yeah, it was late in the day before I got fish, you know, late in the day before I got the limit. And, you know, I was just happy to have what I had, but I missed all the drama. I got to see late in the day, you know, the LC had a big day again.
Yeah. I didn't have any fish until probably 9 o'clock or so that day. The first five or six spots I fished, I got nothing on. The big fish spot from the day before, I don't think I even had a bite on for the first 2 or 3 hours. And it starts like my mind starts going like, because I remember, yeah. I think the first solid fish that I had on jumped off. And then I missed two or three others. And I'm sitting here like, all right, that's cool. Like that's how you lose the national championship, because you know, you don't hear somebody win it and be like, oh yeah, I broke off three fish today, or I jumped off two fish and still win. it's always like the, yeah, I would have won if I hadn't lost this fish. And I was like, cool, that's me now.
So you start in the same spot, the same big fish. Excuse me, same big fish spot. You had a 19 incher there the second day just to start it off. And you went, what, roughly 2.5, 3 hours with no bites?
Yep.
Oh.
And I just picked a couple new spots on the map that looked like similar to what I had been catching them on. That's when I caught like a 14 and a 14 and a half. And then I went to another brand new spot and I think I caught a 16 or something like that. And that's kind of like, Calm me down. You know, I'm catching fish. I'm okay. I'm all right.
Yeah. Cause with the lead that you had, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like you were up by 15 or 20 inches, but you had a pretty comfortable lead. And from what I saw, it looked like there were a lot of guys, there was some fluctuation. There was some guys that would put up one massive day, but then it was, you know, have a much tougher second day or vice versa.
Yeah.
So there were not a ton of guys that, you know, nobody that was putting up, you know, back-to-back 96s. So you had a little bit of cushion. Now you've got, you know, three fish, you're settling down a little bit. Where do you go from there? Just more of the same?
Yeah. It was more of the same. I started to drop off, you know, if I hadn't caught a fish there the past 2 days, you know, maybe I caught a fish there in practice, but I fished it the first and second day and didn't catch a fish. I moved over that one. I just skipped over that one and kind of went to the highest percentage ones. And then added a couple new ones that I had found, you know, like if I'd run over a spot on day two and marked it, but didn't fish it, I kind of went through those and added a couple more, but it was all grass points and things like that, little edges in the grass, and ended up, I had one good island. There's one, or not an island, a good hump out in the middle that had a bunch of milfoil on it or hydrilla or whatever the grass is out there. And it was just sparse across the whole top of it. And I parked out dead center of it and was just fan casting around and caught a couple of good ones that day.
Gotcha. Yeah. So new spots, running new water and pick them up. At what point? So you've got a couple of 14s and a 16. What time do you think you managed to finish that limit?
Probably 1:30 or so.
Ooh. Okay.
I could probably tell you. It was definitely nerve wracking. What days were the tournament? Let's see.
It was 3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5.
So that's crazy. I was thinking you had them earlier than that.
Oh no.
Because for me, you know, and I think to most of the guys who were just kind of sitting back watching it, I just assumed it was easy. I mean, you put up almost 90 inches on the third day, you had 295s. I just assumed that you were sitting out there, you know, kind of like who was it? Timmy Horton eating pizza at the dock. Went out, caught some fish, and then just come back in early and take a nap.
Let's see. Yeah, my last 17 incher was 2 at 2:11.
And that was number five.
Yeah.
No way.
Was that number five? I know it wasn't number five because that was an upgrade. I remember that being a good upgrade. I think that.
Okay.
That gave me 2 or 3 inches. I think they got rid of like a 15 or a 14 and a half.
Okay. See, so around 1:30, filling the limit out and then getting a nice kicker. At that point, did you, like, was the leaderboard still on even?
I think you turned them off the last hour.
Like, okay.
But I'd seen that it was about like I think I had them by like 2 inches or so when they turned it off. And I knew that whenever I caught that last one, it gave me another 2 or 3 inches. And I was like, he really has to smash them in order to catch them. But I mean, he had been smashing them the whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely had. And it, from, I don't know this for sure, from what I heard, he fished a different area on day two. But he had definitely smashed them on day one and smashed it again on day three.
Yeah.
So had he, you know, maybe if he'd made different decisions that different day, it'd have been a different outcome and it'd have been a little tighter. But I had it written down. Yeah. So you ended up with 276 1/4. Second place, Mike was 271. So yeah, 5 1/4 inches. So that's about where, what your calculations were at, you know, you said what, 213, 211, something.
Yeah.
When you put that 17 inch water. that's it gave you some breathing room.
Oh yeah.
You finished the day out. That was your last fish. Like, how do you feel going back to the ramp? Did you feel like you'd won? Did you feel like you let it slip away? Were you
I knew that I'd let it slip. I knew that because the fish in the morning I lost were good, solid fish. Like, I knew. I mean, and plus I was like, I kept thinking throughout the day, like, this is Gunnersville. You know, somebody could put a 24, 20, like, I got the guy that caught 24 1/2 today on the second day. Like, mm-hmm. There's 24s out here. There's guy I caught 25 in practice. I was like, there's monsters out here that anybody could throw up on a board any time. And it's like, I'm not catching them. Somebody else probably is out here with 140 of the best guys out there.
Yeah. So you were not, you didn't at all feel comfortable or you never felt like you had it in the bag?
No.
Okay.
Not at any point in time.
not until you're standing up there on the stage. I imagine it's got to be a good feeling then when you hear Mike's name called first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That was, yeah, that was wild.
I've, has it sunk in yet or like?
Not entirely.
Okay.
So I still think about it and I'm just like, what?
Yeah. I mean,
what just happened?
So I'm looking at the wall behind you, and that doesn't even include this latest trophy. So you're starting to run out of room.
I need a different dresser, but yeah, I've got it sitting on there. I've got the Bassmaster one sitting on there. I've got the Chatterbait and Rattletrap I started off with this month. They're this practice sitting on them. So I don't see my I put the lures the key lures for the week on top of each one of them. It's kind of reminding me.
That's cool. So what's the plan for the rest of the year? Are you looking to do some more Bassmasters, more KBF, Hobie, a little bit of everything?
I want to do a couple more bass. I definitely want to do the KBF at Chick. I'm going back and forth between the K, because KBF and the next bass are on the same day. They're on after Mother's Day weekend, May 18th. So I'm like,
you mentioned that's the home water or where you grew up.
Play Lake Murray. I grew up like on Lake Murray, well, near Lake Murray. Okay. That's probably the closest lake to where I grew up. So that's
gotcha.
Call that home water. But the next KBF is on Santee, and it's about 2 hours away from the house, 2.5 hours away from the house. So I might go run down there and start fishing that, because the next bass one's on Gunnersville. And I don't know. I mean, I was fortunate enough to come in the top five in the Lake Murray bass, so I've qualified for the bass championship. So I might fish the rest of the KBF, fish the KBF, and maybe hop into one or two of the Hobie ones up north.
Yeah, I'm torn myself, because there's I guess the, like you said, the next two KBF events, there's conflicts, and yep. One of them is the Hobie
Cayuga.
Cayuga.
Yep, Cayuga, June 1st and 2nd.
That's going to be a potentially a sight fishing deal.
Yeah.
And I love to sight fish, but I also love Chickamauga. Like Chickamauga has been really good to me. And like last year, that was a lot of fun. You know, we didn't have the biggest turnout, but it was still, I mean, it was a smash fest. You smashed them. I mean, there were a couple guys that really caught them good down there. And something about that first week in June down there, I fished a KBF down there. I fished a Hobie down there, and it's been fun each time. So I'm torn. I don't know whether to go west to Tennessee or go north to New York that weekend.
Yeah. Cause they were saying Cayuga will be before they let bass boats on the lake, before they let bass boats start having tournaments on the lake.
Oh,
because it's something with the, you can't put fish in alive well before a certain time. So since we're catch photo release, we can actually have a tournament out there before bass boats can have a tournament out there.
So nobody's messing with them yet. We're going to have some stupid fish potentially.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Or Chick. Like.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a bad choice. And initially I was thinking in terms of turnout, you know, the Hobie might draw more people.
Yeah.
Also a further drive for me. And then, you know, Chad, well, you fished the trails also. I fished the Saturday trail. I didn't fish Sunday. I needed to get back to work. And, I know Chad made the announcement. I talked to him after, but he made the announcement that he's going to finish out the two trails this year, but then, you know, it's likely there won't be a trail series next year, maybe some open events.
Yeah. So it kind of makes me like, I want to fish these last couple ones before.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a couple of KBF trophies, but none of them say first place on them. So I want a KBF. So that might end up swaying me to fish KBF, you know, one more go, you know, down on Chickamauga. But it's been, I mean, I like all the trails. I've enjoyed fishing all of them. I was fortunate you know, to get a Bassmaster win and a Hobie win a couple of years ago. But the KBF one, I think I fished more KBF events than anything, and it still eluded me. So
yeah, I've got love for KBF. Like I like all the trails. I love all the trails. It feels like Bass and Hobie are run like a business, and Chad's like super passionate about it. You feel the passion coming out of him.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, something that I don't know if everybody appreciates, but guys that are coming into the sport now, like he's not the only one, you know, that built sort of the kayak fishing the way that it is now. Yeah. But he's, at least in terms of the tournaments, like KBF is what started this whole thing, at least on this scale, where guys can go out there and win a, you know, a massive amount of money, you know, for fishing out of a little plastic boat. It's he really pioneered that. I'll always be grateful to him for that. I mean, he's the one that got me into kayak fishing. Not directly, I didn't know him, but just through his YouTube videos, you know, whatever it was 15 years ago when I first saw him and Jeff Little. I've enjoyed, you know, fishing this series in particular. And I'm on the fence, but after, you know, hearing that there won't be a trail series next year, I think it's got me leaning towards going to Chickamauga. But
yeah, come on to Santee.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get Santee. Which week? That's the Gunnersville weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, May 18th
with Bassmaster Gunnersville. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you got the win. You feel good. This was my first good tournament of the year, so I'm like, I need to go back to Gunnersville. So only place I can catch fish.
It's gonna be like post spawn bluegill beds and grass punching out there. And then
on
Gunnersville. And Santee is going to be post spawn, spinner bait around trees, swim bait around trees, maybe some offshore cranking, but shad spawn probably going to be off the chain by then. Plus the cicada hatch, so it's probably top water, probably good top water bite around trees.
That it doesn't sound like there's a bad option. So well, I got a question for you. Have you gone west, like Possum Kingdom's happening? Well, as we're recording this, it's happening this coming weekend. I've never been down there. I've wanted to go down there. It wasn't in the cards this year. I felt like I had it in the budget to do one kind of west trip, and I went to Ten Killer and fished I guess you call it a Highland Reservoir and got destroyed out there. But have you ever been to Possum Kingdom or?
No, because I think that's where Bass will be. The championship will be next year. It's gonna be somewhere in that middle Texas range. Because I know they announced the Bassmaster Classic will be
Ray Roberts, I think.
Yeah, it'll be Ray Roberts, which means the Kayak Classic's gonna be Possum Kingdom Fork. It's gonna be something insane. It's gonna be something crazy. So I'm gonna need to get out there and.
Yeah, I said at kind of the top of the show that I'm jealous. I think that there's going to be some spawning fish down there. It's, from what I understand, it's kind of a deeper rocky lake, so it's got a little bit cooler water, I think. And I think that there's going to be spawning fish down there. I've caught a few big fish off beds, but one of my like bucket list things, I want to catch a 10 pounder that I'm looking
at. You're staring at.
Yeah. I think some guys will do that this week. I hope some guys get to, but
I don't know what I'd probably go right by it. I wouldn't even think it's fish.
Go by and think it's just a big grass carp or something. See a great big old tail. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Yeah. Appreciate you, you sharing all that this information. I'm gonna maybe I've been taking notes. I'm not gonna go steal your area, but I'm gonna be paying attention for ideas.
I've got practice. I've got day one, day two, and then day three. I knocked my GoPro in the water, and it's
No.
I thought it was good. I thought everything was good. And like an hour or so into the day, I heard popping and crackling coming from it. Like I looked over and saw the screen flickering. I was like, I probably need to turn that off today.
So is the GoPro fried?
Let's see. I don't know. That's a good question. There is the GoPro right now. There is the GoPro right now. Let's see.
In the rice. I like it. I've done that with a few phones myself.
Oh, so I looked at it. It's got water in the lens and everything. So
okay.
Yeah, I shut it off after about an hour or so, it started buzzing, crackling, and I just turned it off. So I don't have the trail series. I don't have day three, but I have practice day one and day two.
Okay. So when can everybody look forward to tuning in and watching you smash them?
I'll probably go through that tomorrow morning. Yeah, Friday and Saturday morning, I'll probably go through it, and I'll see if I can get it out Saturday afternoon. Because I also have my giveaway. I said once I hit 500 subscribers, I'm going to give away Lou's LFS combo. We're going to go through that as well. So, nice. And I hit 500 this week while I was at Guntersville. So I've got to do that. I've got to make the video for that. I've got to make the recap for Guntersville. I don't want to like throw everything up all at once, but I've got practice day one, day two. Plus I still have a Logan Martin videos I got to get out. But.
All right. Well, so there's definitely going to be some content coming soon.
Oh yeah.
Everybody can find you at Wham Fishing on YouTube.
Yeah.
And let's grow that channel some. It's good content. It's legit stuff.
I appreciate you. I need to go dive into my stuff a little bit more because I don't bring too much stuff. And one of the things that helps me, and I don't know if it can help some other people, to simplify and tackle and stuff like that, because I bring one 3600 box and four rods with me. So
that's all you bring. You're talking about during the tournament.
Yeah.
Now, is that what you do for all tournaments, or is it sort of depend?
Yeah. Yeah, all tournaments. Oh, you limited to four rods. Yeah,
that is awesome. That's like Drew. It's like Drew Gregory's amount of tackle. There's a few times where I'm able to do that where I feel like I'm really dialed in, but I'm too. I don't know what the right word is. Like I'm always like second guessing. Well, what happens if I get out there and you know I run into this and then I want to throw this bait and I end up with eight. I feel good limiting myself to eight because I remember I've got an Outback now. I used to have a Wilderness Ride. Was it the 115? And it did not have enough space for 10 rods. And I would have rods laying every which way. It was just this gigantic mess.
Kick them overboard.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's just at a certain point, it's like, this is counterproductive. So I feel good that I can limit it. You know, when I can get it down to six rods or eight rods, you know, just what's in the black back and, you know, and then don't have anything, you know, extra clutter. I feel pretty good. Four. Yeah. That's awesome.
So I was talking to Justin Faircloth and he hit me with he's like, what if none of those things work? And I was like, I don't have an answer for you.
It's never happened.
I try and have it narrowed down. I mean, I go out there and ride struggle bus then that day.
That's impressive. The four rods and one, you said 36 or 3700?
Well, 3600, yeah.
3600. I imagine that lightens the load a little bit too for when you're pedaling the big one.
Yeah, I would say I can outrun most people with the big water. I got smoked by one guy at Guntersville last year. He had a Hobie PA-14 paddling with the Newport on the back of it.
Okay.
he was pedaling with the Newport on it, and he ran me down. But that big water will do. I'll say I can do a steady 5.1, 5.2 with it pedaling.
Wow, and maintain that.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, Wyatt, thank you again. Anybody you want to thank or plug? I'll give you the floor for a minute.
gotta get you a new hat there. But old town. I was rocking the Autopilot 136 the whole week. I've been using that all year, and being able to just spot lock dead center of that wind, it was lifesaver. That's what changed everything for me out there. And I think it was gusting 25, 30 plus on day one and two, and just being able to just hit the button and I can turn around, I can grab stuff out of the back, I can grab a drink, I can retie and everything, and not have to worry about moving all drifting, you know, half a mile away or anything like that. That makes all the difference in the world.
You're getting a drink while the rest of us are just trying to hold in place and keep still. That's awesome. Well, Wyatt, congrats again. I'm sure I'll run into you at least a couple more times this year.
Yep, at the very least a chick.
Yeah. So best of luck the rest of this year. Congrats again, yep. and thanks for coming on.
Of course. Good to be here.
Wyatt Hammond, ladies and gentlemen. That was fun. I enjoyed talking to Wyatt. That dude is really good. You can tell from watching his channel. You go check out Wham Fishing on YouTube. It's like you can tell when people know what they're doing, and Wyatt knows what he's doing. All that hardware behind him is further evidence. So before we jump into Kings of the Week, for anybody that tuned in to the last episode, you know, I talked with Brandon Yoder. We talked a little bit about budget fishing, kayaking on a budget. And I had mentioned before that I wanted to start a segment. So I'm not sure exactly what I want to call it. What I've come up with so far is yakking on a budget. But, you know, kind of following up on the episode with Brandon and, you know, basically that full hour and a half, whatever it ended up being, you know, this will be our inaugural yakking on a budget segment. And I should have brought props. I didn't. My budget saving tip for this week is, it has to do with color. It's basically just limit your color selection with different baits. So specifically, I was thinking of a couple different things. One, you know, spinnerbait. Typically I'm throwing a spinnerbait. I'm imitating some type of bait fish, and I'm typically throwing it in water that's got some stains, a little bit dirty, white, some variation of white. That's all you need with a spinnerbait. Another example, something like a chatterbait. I love throwing a chatterbait. I've done really well the last year or so with that chatterbait Minimax. And I've got three primary colors. If I'd only have one, I would throw a green pumpkin. So I feel like green pumpkin is going to work in pretty much any watercolor that can imitate. I think most of the time for me, I'm trying to imitate sunfish, but it can also imitate a crawfish. That color will get bit in clear water, in dirty water. You know, if I'm going to add two other colors, I would add some version of white, you know, some bait fish type shad imitation pattern, and then a black and blue for when it's really dirty. But you can get by with just green pumpkin. And then another example, we'll talk soft plastics. That's probably where I've gotten into the most trouble over the years, where I've spent more money. You know, every time a new color comes out, I got to try it. But I find myself, you know, when it's competition time or when I'm just fun fishing, when I'm loading up what I feel like I need for that next day, you know, green pumpkin, pretty much whatever type of plastic is, it is that I'm throwing, I feel like green pumpkin will get the job done. I like to have kind of a black and blue variation for dirty water too. And then if I'm fishing real clean water, something like a watermelon red, something that's translucent. But if I could only have one, I'd throw green pumpkin, and it'll catch fish pretty much any situation. Something else that you can do with that green pumpkin, so we'll call this like a bonus tip. Get yourself a marker, like Spike It dye marker. You know, for a few dollars, you can get a couple different colors. And you can take that green pumpkin, You can put some chartreuse tips on it. You can add blue. I think they make a dark blue color. So you can really customize that green pumpkin bait without having to go out and buy packs and packs and packs of different colors. So the yakking on a budget tip for this week, try to limit your color selection. All right, and now we're on to the kayak kings and queens of the week. I think I mentioned at the top of the show, we're recording this a little bit earlier. So the event on Possum Kingdom hasn't happened yet. So I don't have anybody from Possum Kingdom in here, but I wanted to recognize a couple guys. Well, I'll start with a name. I mentioned him earlier in the show, Mr. Tim Isaacs. He is currently the Angler of the Year, or leading the Angler of the Year for 24 for KBF. He had a couple of wins on the Trail Series at Lake Murray, and he backed that up here at Gunnersville with a third on both days. So impressive showing for Tim. I'm hoping he sticks with it the rest of the year and has a great championship in the fall. I'd love to see Tim take home that AOI title. But for now, he's the AOI leader. Mr. Tim Isaacs, our first King of the Week. Two, I want to recognize Mr. Derek Bostick. Now, Derek had a great Trail Series on Sunday. He was runner-up with 94 and 3/4 inches, but I also wanted to recognize him for what he did during the KBF National Championship. He had a tough day, on day one. But he turned around and had two of the best limits of the tournament on days two and day three. I always like seeing stories like that because I feel like that's something that's really hard to do. It's really hard for me personally to do, to bounce back from a tough day. Like mentally, like it's hard for me to sort of refocus and just forget about the previous day and just go fishing. But Derek did. Yeah, he put up on day two for the KBF National Championship, 96 and 3/4 inches, and then came back on day three even stronger and put up 97 and a half inches. Great showing, great rebound for Derek. And that makes him our second Kayak Fishing King of the Week. And that's going to do it for this edition of Kayak Fishing Weekly. Thanks for tuning in. We will be back next week with more kayak fishing conversation. Until then, good luck out there.
Hey guys, appreciate you listening to that episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If your application that you're listening to this episode on allows it, please give us a rating and review. It helps us out big time, get shown more on the platform that you're listening to, and it helps us grow the show. And if you get some time, check out the other podcasts on the Sirius Angler Network. And of course, have a great day.